Today on Doomed! It's just been literally just non-stop news. Just event after action after protest this past week. And honestly, there's a lot to talk about. It's been about a week since we last, since the last episode of Doomed. And I feel like we should just jump right in because there's a lot to talk about. You know, I feel like there's been a lot of shows that start lately with me sort of just overwhelmed by a situation because it's overwhelming. If you're trying to follow what's going on right now, you might feel like it's all just mushing together into one. Like a protest in New York, a protest in Minnesota, a protest in California, a protest in Texas, a protest in Ohio, a protest in Louisiana. It's all just, I mean, I was looking at clips earlier and I was like, oh, the cops, the NYPD just tried to run over those protesters to get through a protest line. That reminded me of a clip I just saw a couple hours earlier from not that California clip. It was the one in Los Angeles, not the one in Oakland. You know, I guess I should start at the beginning because literally the last episode of this show was just a couple days before George Floyd was murdered by a police officer. I mean, it was cold-blooded, he killed him. We have it on video. This man was on the floor, posing no threat to anyone. And this cop, you know, I haven't even really been watching, like, the news, like, cable news, television news. I've basically just been reading everything and watching the on-the-ground clips because I just don't want to, unless it's something I want to pay attention to because it's something to be debunked or ridiculed, I don't want to hear cable news or mainstream media coverage of this because they're botching it. Of course, obviously. So excuse me if I'm saying the police officer's name wrong, his last name, Derek Chauvin. Because I've only been reading his name. I hope to not say his name for the rest of this episode, to be quite honest with you. I mean, he has his knee in the back of George Floyd's neck. And the poor guy's on the floor saying, I can't breathe. You're hurting me. I can't breathe. And apparently, I guess it doesn't really matter to these four officers, you know, the one who has his knee on his neck and the other three who are also on top of him. Two of them are on top of him. The other one's just standing there. None of them do anything. It doesn't matter to them. You know, and this is not them. It's wrong to begin with, but this is not even a momentary thing that happened to restrain him. The man's restrained. He's on the floor. Something like 9 minutes pass. I mean, it was, you know, the word overkill or over the top or excessive force, I don't even think that's justice. How ridiculous this was. And Renee says Chauvin is his last name. Thank you, Renee. And George Floyd died. Right there on the sidewalk. If you're watching the video, I'm not going to play the video. I understand people who think the video is important. I understand people who think enough is enough. I think I totally feel for whatever your opinion is on this. This is not something where there is a correct answer, if you ask me. If I had been doing this episode the day of or the day after, maybe I would have played the video so people understood what I was talking about. At this point, about 5-6 days in, 5 days in, you've seen the video, or you haven't seen the video and you should go watch it if you think you need to, or you shouldn't if you don't think it's necessary. But I don't think I need to play it for you to understand how ridiculous this is. At this point. Obviously, if you haven't been paying attention to the story, I think you can tell where this all went. The officers walked away scot-free, got to go home to their family. George Floyd was taken off the floor by the EMTs. His body was already he was dead. I mean, they picked him up and there was no life there. I don't know if they found a pulse. Like, I believe I read it when I first saw it, but I can't remember now whether they had a pulse or not, because it doesn't really matter, because he died. He's dead. He's not coming back, because a human life was taken by a police officer who decided to put multiple police officers, but especially one who had his knee digging behind the man's neck for 9 minutes while the man is on the floor gasping that he can't breathe. So, you know, the officers get to go home to their family, and the usual story happens where the protests start, and we either get to see a momentary justice where the officer's taken in, but of course they never really end up going to jail or anything like that, or we get not even any justice, not even a taste of justice, because they aren't even indicted or arrested. Well, this time around, at this point, Officer Siobhan was taken in to custody. He was arrested. I believe he's on $500,000 bail. I'm not sure if he made bail. Wouldn't surprise me if he did. But that happened after the protests that started the day, I believe it was the day after, George Floyd died last Monday. They got a little violent. Some people describe it as riots. Certainly, I would say it transitioned from a peaceful protest to a different type of direct action. There were buildings that were looted, if that, you know, that's the term people like to use. That I think most people understand in terms of what happened. The word brings a lot of different connotations to it that I don't agree with. But we'll describe it as that so everyone follows along. And there were some buildings set on fire. I believe it was a Target that was looted. Right, a Target. Because now Targets have become like a symbol, apparently, where if there's a Target nearby a protest, they start boarding it up. Like they did at the Barclays Center last night. Targets across the street from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn boarded up when the protest started getting together. And, you know, there's so much going on about these protests that, you know, I've reached out to different people on the ground. And here's the thing. You know, I have been doing this for about a decade in terms of, you know, I've obviously been into politics. Actually, I've been in politics since I was very young, preteen, thanks to punk rock. I started doing politics, you know, out of college professionally about 10 years ago. And I didn't just look at, you know, protests when I started covering them the same way I did as just someone who would go to protests as a high school student, a college student. You know, you look at them a bit differently when you're covering them, and you get to understand all the intricacies of, you know, grassroots action. And I will say, from what I've seen at, you know, the anti-war protests during under Bush, the Occupy protests, the protests when Trayvon Martin was killed by George Zimmerman, it was the Million Hoodies March, I believe it was called, and then that sort of was the jump off into the Black Lives Matter movement when Michael Brown was murdered in Ferguson. These protests are the same in some ways, but a bit different too. And where they're different is where I think... how do I explain this? Where it's different, I think it's different because of the current situation we're in as a, I can't even just say as a country, as an entire world. And just what's going on at the solidarity protests that are offshoots from the main protests where this happened in Minnesota. And what I mean is this. At all these other protests, you know, when there's when there was a Black Lives Matter protest in, you know, 2015, 2016, what you would see is there would be, you know, when there was a protest in relation to a police killing, what you would see is the main protests would obviously culminate where the police brutality, the police action, the police violence occurred. And then the solidarity protest would obviously be, they would be big sometimes, but you would never sort of see the same sort of action in terms of, you know, you would see a march, some the protesters going up against the police. But this time, you're seeing it get to the point of, you know, cars being flipped over, buildings being burned, buildings being, stores being broken into, all around the country. And I think that has a lot of people in power scared, to be quite frank. I mean, you could just see it with what they're saying, with what the message is in terms of just saying, you gotta go home. And they're rolling out whoever they could roll out to try to connect to whoever they think they could connect to tell them to stop going out there and protesting. And the reason I think this is what's happening, and it should be obvious to everyone, is that these protests are happening under the cloud of a fucking pandemic. I mean, it's almost, you know, a little bit weird to me. Like, it's like I see you go out there and you see the protests, or you watch the videos of the protests, and it really is something else to see everyone wearing face masks. I don't mean just bandanas like you sometimes see people wear to hide their face during a protest so they don't get arrested or identified later on. I mean, the, you know, the medical masks. Everyone wearing some sort of face covering. The cops wearing face coverings. It's a bit dystopian. I mean, it's pretty crazy to see. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. But I mean, this happened. This man was killed, and people are angry. And I think, and I'm bringing up the coronavirus, not just as this, you know, I think we're going to possibly see some real problems with this in terms of the protests and the coronavirus and it spreading at these protests. And I think we'll see it soon. And it's something that I'm worried about. And it's something that I think people are keeping in mind, obviously, but I don't know if enough of it has been on the forefront of people's minds. And the thing, though, that's been completely overlooked in a way, and I bring this up because there's so many aspects to this in terms of what happened to George Floyd, in terms of who's out there protesting, in terms of why it is how it is across the country. A little bit different than the previous protests for similar reasons. And, you know, I don't know why this hasn't been covered more. But George Floyd lost his job because of the coronavirus. Now, I didn't mention earlier, but the man was arrested. For apparently, this is allegedly what the police were called for. A grocery store clerk called the police claiming that George Floyd tried to pay with a forged $20 bill. I don't know if it's true. I mean, the idea that you would call the cops for a forged $20 bill, that seems to say a lot about how the store clerk viewed this black man. Because, I mean, my first thought, if I was working somewhere and I had service jobs when I was younger, if I received a $20 bill working at a grocery store that was fake or forged or whatever, a check or whatever, if I was saying bill, whatever it was, I would assume that this person was also had. I mean, this is a low sum of money. This isn't like someone trying to fake a $100,000 check and cash it, or a $10,000 check and cash it, or even a couple thousand dollars. This is, we're talking 20 bucks. My assumption would be this guy was fooled, and he's out 20 bucks. Sucks for him. I'm sorry, buddy. So I there's a lot going on there. But George Floyd lost his job because of the coronavirus. I was reading that his family, an interview with his family, was discussing how, you know, he was trying to make ends meet. He lost his job. He worked multiple jobs. He was a bouncer at a club. He was a delivery driver, I believe, was one of the other jobs. And he lost them because of the coronavirus lockdowns. So whether this dude meant to try to cash this $20 bill at the grocery store, or whether he was duped and was fooled and lost and was out $20 himself, I mean, it's pretty clear the situation here is that you have a guy who is struggling because he is one of, 40 million? At least, because that's just who filed for unemployment, I believe. Who have been failed by the government during a fucking pandemic. I mean, this has sort of been ignored in this. There is no doubt that there is a hardcore main component, which is George Floyd is a black man living in America. But if you're talking about these protests and not bringing up the coronavirus, I mean, this isn't the usual. I understand that there are people on the left who strongly believe that, and I believe this too, that class is a huge part of this. And I mean, and if you're truly an intersectional person, you realize this. But then there's also the liberals who believe that, you know, if this even happens to rich black men, so money doesn't solve everything. I mean, they're completely missing the point in terms of the system that perpetuates it and who the cops are protecting and who white supremacy protects. But let's keep that story to the side for now. Whether you agree with either of those things, this is a completely different era. This isn't the usual income inequality. You can't talk about these protests and what's happening without bringing up the United States in a state of a pandemic. It is impossible. I don't see how you do it. You just think all of a sudden that these protests that have spread all across the country, all getting as passionate and violent as all the other ones, as the one in Minnesota where George Floyd was killed. You don't think that dynamic, which makes it different from the previous protests, from previous Black Lives Matter protests from previous years, you don't think that dynamic has anything to do with the coronavirus? People have been locked up. Some lockdowns have ended. Obviously, my opinion is way too soon, but they've ended. Other lockdowns that are still going on, like in New York City, are on the brink of ending, June 8th, for New York right now. So people are enraged under the state they're currently living in. And I'm not talking about white people only. I could only, you know, you could just see it from the crowds who are coming out. You have people who are upset and angry because they've been failed by the state. And when you take that main component, which is police violence against black people, I mean, then this is what you get. Because you're, you know, this is a dynamic I'm seeing online right now. And I guess we could get to talking about this, because this is really enraging me about the outside agitator. So you have one of the mayors of Minnesota. Was it the mayor of Minneapolis? I'm not sure, but one of the mayors of a major city in Minnesota. And the governor of Minnesota coming out today. Well, first, that mayor I'm talking about, he comes out today and says, you know, those protesters who were arrested last night, I'm told they're all from out of state. And of course, people run with that. Oh, outside agitators. Of course, the real protesters who have the real grievances were just trying to peacefully protest. And I'm sure there were many who were just trying to peacefully protest. But I assure you, not all of them. And then you have people running with that. Now notice what he says is, I'm told. Because that's the tell there. He can't tell you the actual facts, even though he could have waited to find out. Because as the mayor of a city in Minnesota, he should be able to verify that information. And by he should be able to, I mean like he has access to do so very easily. And so people run with that. And then literally right after him, the governor of Minnesota comes up. And he goes that he estimates, look at that word now too. He's not saying he knows or he has the details or the data or the statistics. He estimates that about 80% of people who were arrested last night are coming from out of state. Outside agitators. Not legitimate protesters with actual grievances. Now, notice that along with the estimate to protect himself again, because he can't verify this. The governor of Minnesota can't verify how many people were arrested in Minnesota at the protests who lived in Minnesota. Can't verify that information, even though the police have that information. Notice, though, that he automatically, just by saying what he said, still 80% high number, but it right away, like that, refutes what the mayor who's talked right before him said. We went from, I've been told, every single person arrested last night was an outside agitator. And then, same conference. Shifted from 100% of everyone to maybe 80%. And now, what you get is some information has come through with the actual stats. Because there's jail records that are public. And if you look, of the 45 people who were arrested for rioting, unlawful assembly, stolen property, burglary, or robbery over May 29th and May 30th so far, 38 of them, 38 out of 45, had Minnesota addresses. So, your outside agitators go from 100% to 80% to 38 out of 45. What is that? 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45. So 7 people from out of state. And who knows? Maybe they were college students back home. They had an address from the college dorm. Now they're back home because the school's closed. We don't know. Or maybe they're from the state next door. You know, there's a lot of major cities that are right there on the border where east to west from a state, 8 hours. But then the neighborhood, the neighboring state next door to that city, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour. You can consider them outside agitators, but the other people not. I mean, the idea that it's outside agitators doing this. Oh, now, I've talked about this. I went on this rant on Twitter earlier today, and I had people coming out saying, well, we see the video clips of a bunch of white people in black neighborhoods. Okay. There's a lot going on here. Number one, did I say that outside agitators, I hate that term. Do I say that there are not people just looking to cause trouble? Of course there are. It's a protest. You're not going to get a perfect protest. It's the very idea of a protest. And you don't really understand that. Because that was me probably 12, 13 years ago. When you would see someone purposely trying to cause trouble at a protest. And be like, not fair, they're ruining our peaceful protest. I'm sorry, that's what a protest is. There's no rules. What are you going to whip out, throw the law book at them? What? What's the rules of a peaceful protest that isn't sanctioned by the state? None of these protests have permits. So yeah, the very idea of holding an impromptu protest means you're going to get people who are just looking to do whatever. They too can be doing it out of anger, just not knowing where to show it, how to show it. I mean, this is hard to believe if you're someone on political Twitter who thinks everyone in the world is just as woke as you are because you're in a bubble. People do things without understanding why. There's a lot of people out there. Are a lot of people out there who don't understand the politics of the situation. People who think they're apolitical and have feelings towards things and don't know how to properly, you know, who don't know the term is direct action. You know, who don't know the proper ways to peacefully protest. I mean, it's you're not going to get people at a protest like this working together in the way you want them to. That's one of the drawbacks of a leaderless protest, a leaderless movement. I mean, this happened to Occupy. This did happen to BLM protests earlier on. I mean, you can't control who comes out to these things, especially if there are no leaders for the media or for your state leaders, your government leaders, to point to as the point of reference when they want to address the protests. It's just part of this. I'm sorry. And, you know, if you're a protester on the ground and you see someone doing something you don't like them doing, and you yell at them, tell them to stop, you just talk with them, I mean, that's also part of a protest. You try to, you know, get people around you. You try to wrangle people, try to protect people. You know, you don't want someone, you know, a lot of times people are looking out for other people as well as themselves and their communities, obviously. But, you know, that's something that you do on the ground. That's something that's meant for the protesters. That's not for you to sit on your computer chair at home and Monday morning quarterback the people on the ground. I mean, what does that accomplish? I mean, those people showed up and you're sitting in on your chair saying, poo-pooing on the people who were down there, putting bodies on the line. And I'm talking black, brown, white, LGBT, native, immigrant. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I get it. I was there. I remember seeing when I was younger, you know, a protest go bad and the media changing the narrative because of a protest that went bad, quote unquote, I should say, in terms of, I'm talking now in terms of how it'll be covered by the media and how the, you know, your the government, your state, federal government will try to classify the protests. I mean, you could sit and knock these people, but you don't get it till you're down there. You don't get it till the police are ramming their bike into you. You don't get it till the police are shooting rubber bullets at you. You don't get it until the police are throwing smoke at you. You don't get it. I mean, maybe not everyone is as restrained as you are. Power to you for being like that. I mean, it's just, and again, if you're on the ground and you want to try to do something about it, I totally get it. That's part of these ground protests, trying to get people to work together and do things and stop actions that are being deemed by the people on the ground as harmful. I get that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people who are sitting on their computer right now, typing outside agitators, Russia, Russia, Russia's doing this. Russia's fomenting divisiveness in the country. No. No, you don't get to do that. You don't get to shed your Alex Jones, your liberal Alex Jones-esque conspiracy theories, and you're basically poo-pooing anyone who has the audacity to go down there and actually take action while you're sitting at home on your computer or on your phone. You don't get to do that. I mean, you get to do that in terms of no one can stop you, but I'm not going to take you seriously, and I think anyone who understands how protests actually work and have been part of any actual movement for the past 5, 10, 15 years or whatever aren't going to take you seriously. I'm sorry that Donald Trump woke you up to the realities of the country that existed before Donald Trump, but the shit didn't exist before Donald Trump and you didn't do the reading, so you don't get to talk about all this shit like it just happened and you have no reference to anything before Trump. So you think, uh-oh, someone's breaking a window, or uh-oh, police are getting attacked because they actually struck first, but I'm not gonna look at that as any shape or form, and I'm just gonna pretend that it's these evil Antifa leftist protesters are wrong, even though I'm feeding right into the right wing tropes that Trump is pushing and alt-right is pushing and all your least favorite people who you claim to hate are pushing, but you're gonna feed into that shit. You're gonna give them more ammo by saying it's the left or it's the alt-left or it's Antifa, even though if you ask someone on the ground at any of these protests, you ask the priests and the pastors down at Charlottesville when they were straight up looking in the eyes of both the police and neo-Nazis and fascists, who stood up for them and who put their bodies on the line to help protect them. It was Antifa. But no, we're going to pretend that that's not what you hear from people on the ground. We're going to sit home in a computer chair and say, oh, we see a bunch of white people throwing shit through a window in this one clip I'm looking at, this one cherry-picked clip, and I'm going to assume that it's outside agitators behind all this. And no one who is actually out there for the actual protests, the actual reason why people are out there, because a police officer murdered George Floyd, we're going to pretend no one out there is angry like that. It's ludicrous. It's ludicrous. I mean, it's ridiculous to me that they don't see what they're doing online, because it's coming right to them what they're doing. I can't tell you how many big liberal accounts I've seen. And I'm talking white liberals, I'm talking black liberals, I'm talking brown, I'm talking all liberals. I've seen this from them all. The people who don't necessarily partake in grassroots action. The ones who jump into your replies to say, if you don't like it, what's going on? You got to vote. As if things were not being protested. As if black bodies being murdered by the police state weren't being protested under a Democratic president. I've seen those people tweet this stuff about Antifa. And then what do you see in the replies right under? You see the MAGA accounts jumping in saying, that's right. Glad to see you finally see it. Paid for by George Soros. Feeding into anti-Semitic tropes because they don't know what's going on there on the ground. Of course there's some people just looking to cause trouble. And of course there's people who aren't looking to cause trouble. But when they are met baton to fist like they're being met, they can't control themselves because, again, they're not sitting in a computer chair at home. They're out there, face mask on, fending off from a coronavirus pandemic and from the police state. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, and let's just take this for a minute here. The idea that, like, we're talking hundreds of people are coming out here, thousands of people, and you see a clip of three dudes throwing a brick through a window. You can think that's wrong. I get it. You can think that's fine. I get it. You think those three people are fomenting all this stuff out there. And we already know from the stats here, and again, great podcast, citation needed, pointed out articles from previous protests over the years. Same narrative. Protest happens, gets a little violent, gets a little out of control. Governor, mayor, police chief comes out, says, outside agitators. It's so easy to do. You know why they do it, right? It's so easy. You kill two birds with one stone. You absolve yourself of any wrongdoing because these people aren't actually mad at us in our inaction or action, because the people who were actually protesting against what they perceive our wrongdoing is, they were doing it peacefully because it wasn't that bad. It wasn't so wrong. It wasn't that bad. It's the outside agitators. They're just looking to cause trouble. They're bored, or they're looking to make some money. They're looking to steal shit. Nothing we could do about that. It's not our fault that those people came here and did that. Nothing we did caused that. And then number two, they blame outside agitators. Because it downplays the actual anger that people are feeling. Nothing to see here, folks. No one's actually angry. These are just thugs and hoodlums. And, privileged white kids looking to cause some havoc. I mean, I saw a clip just earlier. Young people, really young. This wouldn't surprise me if they weren't young millennials. They might have been Gen Z. Talking like 18, 19, 20. Flipping over a cop car. I think it was in, where was it? In SLC, in Salt Lake City. Right, you're going to get mad about white people marching in a Black Lives Matter rally in Salt Lake City. I mean, come on. But I saw a tweet getting mad that they were saying, oh, look at these white people flipping over a cop car in Salt Lake City. Our protest was peaceful. But then you look at the clip. And yeah, you see a couple white kids. See a couple black kids too. I don't just see black men flipping over that car. I see a black woman flipping over that car too. And you know why? Not because they're bad. Because they've been wronged. And they're angry. And they don't know what to fucking do. Because they've been living under a fucking pandemic. And they're sick of seeing black people being murdered on the street. And it's all just rising. The anger and the frustration is rising. They don't know what's left to do. What do they do? What do you do? And I should point out that right before they flip over this car, a fucking guy shows up, a civilian, a fat white MAGA looking dude, comes out of his car with a friggin' bow and arrow and tries to shoot a protester with that. And you know what happened? You see that multiracial, multigenerational crowd ascend on that man and take him down. And then he was taken into custody. And they flipped over his car and burnt it too. I mean, you got to be kidding me here. You're going to police this shit and say you support what's going on? You, what are you doing? Yeah, throw your own people under. And when I say your own people, I mean the people who are fighting alongside. And this is what's happening here. A lot of these white liberals who are tweeting this shit think that, oh, these aren't the good white. I'm the good white ally. Yeah, you sitting home, the good white ally. Those people putting their bodies in front of, the black and brown protesters they're marching alongside with. They're not the real allies, right? I mean, what is it that woke white liberals want? Truthfully, I'm trying to understand here. Do white people show solidarity by putting their bodies on the line at these protests? Or do they sit at home and not do anything? Like you guys are. But of course, you'll pretend you go out because you know, when there's a nice pre-prepared protest with the proper permits, you go out there, put on your little pink hat, and everything's fine. You're one protest a year. I mean, I don't understand what you want. I mean, I saw someone, and this was from a black liberal, or at least they portray themselves as a black liberal. Someone pointed out they're an anonymous person on Twitter who puts forth that they're black, but they showed me some stuff that suggests that might not be the case from how the account was prior to it becoming this account that's now pushing out this stuff. But so let's not, this liberal account, because we don't know, used their criticism of the white people protesting alongside the black people at the Black Lives Matter protests to post a picture of Bernie Sanders. Why post? I don't even get it. But post a picture of Bernie Sanders getting arrested in Chicago for protesting segregated university dorms. To attack that action. I mean, honestly, there's a lot of things to criticize Bernie Sanders for, even though he's my guy in the primaries. He's who I supported. I like Bernie Sanders. I think he's one of the best politicians we got. Low bar, but I respect the guy and what he's done. A lot to criticize, though. But his racial justice action that he took in the 60s, I don't get why that became such a knock on him. But I mean, what is it, Bernie Sanders was wrong for being a college student who chained himself to a black woman to protest segregation in the 60s. He was wrong for doing that. Okay, but so what was he supposed to do? I don't, it really is like fucking insane sometimes. And no doubt about it. There are white protesters who get out of hand in terms of endangering the people around them at some of these actions. But the protesters on the ground deal with it. You see it in the clips. They're dealt with. It's fixed. They take care of it on their own. They don't need you Monday morning quarterbacking it, turning it into a whole thing, which then becomes the narrative, which then Trump tweets out earlier today, all this violence is from Antifa and the left. Because you lobbied it up for him. You gave him the perfect serve. It's really enraging. I don't know what else to say about it other than, I mean, you're complicit in helping the right. I mean, that's just facts. And you know, there's these stories about different far right white supremacist movements infiltrating these protests. I've seen it. You could see some of this happening. And we should be aware of it. And I'll be covering that more, because after all, this is one of the main topics of Doomed, covering white supremacy and the far right. But, and again, this is coming from someone who covers these guys. They don't have the numbers to do what you're seeing. They don't. You are taking away the agency from the angry, righteous protesters who are on the ground, who simply have a difference in opinion of what direct action they should take. A lot of this is generational. I mean, when you look at some of these clips, I mean, there's that clip from the other day in Georgia where you see black and white protesters standing on top of the graffitied CNN logo at CNN headquarters. You gonna tell me that was white agitators forcing those black protesters to do that? And that the black protesters had no idea what they were doing? I would say, how dare you do that to those black men? Who had every, you know, reason And they had an agency of their own to go do that because they wanted to. They weren't duped. They weren't forced. I mean, I can tell you how empowering that must have felt to do that. To feel like the boot isn't on you for once. And again, I can't stress how different this is than any other time. Because the health concerns, the social concerns, the economic concerns are all bearing down out of this coronavirus cloud. While the police violence against black people storm is brewing below it. I mean, I don't have any of this prepared. So if some of these analogies are corny, that's what they are. I'm sorry. Just what's popping in my head at this moment. I'm like, you know, really, really upset about how this is being covered. Because I think it does real harm to the people who are doing the work on the ground, who are fighting the fight on the ground, who are putting themselves on the line, not just physically to the police, but their health, literally. I mean, do not be surprised if you find out some of these protesters die or a family member, which is extra sad if that happens. Someone, they have it and didn't even know and gave it to a family member. And of course, I'm talking how this will mostly affect, you know, working people of color. Like it already has. I mean, listen, before doing this show tonight, I tried to get on some people, actually. And again, I've covered protests before, but what makes this so different is that this is like been a nonstop thing. Like, these aren't, oh, protest in one spot one night, protest another spot another night. Like, these are continued protests in these cities. And they're almost around the clock. Like, they're the people dispersing in the early mornings, I'm guessing, just to get food and rest. And they're not showing up the next night. They're showing up the next day, 2, 3 o'clock. So, I'm working on talking to some people. I'm going to do more episodes about this. Yeah, I really think so much of it is a generational thing. Funny enough, just like how the primaries were. But you're really seeing a multiracial group of really young people out there. And they're taking part in these actions together. And I mean, you see it in studies how people, I really do think my millennial generation, and this includes some of them, who think more like the Gen Z kids, but I do think millennials are the last to look at this as a separate space type thing. Like some older protesters, and when I say older, I mean older millennial, Gen X, and above protesters. Because Gen Z looks at these issues completely different. And when I say, and I mean black, brown, white, native, Gen Z, look at these issues. There's been studies, very different. And I think they view this different. And I think that's what you're seeing a lot with this generational divide with policing the protests. Protesters policing the protests. You know? older people telling protesters how they should behave or act, and younger people saying, no, we want to do it this way. I mean, I still don't get how older people don't understand. And again, when I say older, I mean even some older millennials, but Gen X up. I don't get how they don't understand how millennials and Gen Z view the world. It baffles me. It takes 5 minutes even just to take a look at what these generations have gone through and how their anger is intersectional in every single way. And they view it that way. Talk to them and they view it that way. We'll be talking about this more. I'm going to do more episodes. I'm going to try to ramp up. I did the last episode last week. Then this all happened with the police killing and the protests. And I tried to put some shows together. I was inundated with information and getting things together. And I'm working on other things too, involving news and getting this stuff out there that are also part of this media thing that I'm doing that you all helped me do. But yeah. Folks, to support this show and help me grow it, go to patreon.com/Matt Binder. We finally hit the goal. I have 100 patrons. Patrons. I cannot thank you all enough. We're about to hit the first of the month. I will undoubtedly, as I always do, the first of the month, and I think a lot of people do the first of the month, lose a few patrons, which means we'll fall under that goal again. If you can afford to become a subscriber to this show, go to patreon.com/Matt Binder. I hope you enjoy these rare one-off me just talking to you shows, but normally I have a guest on. We have a great guest on this show. You help make this show possible, and also you fund the second half of the show, which is just for patrons. I mean, I'm one of the few, there's tons of leftist and political podcasts out there. There's only a handful of regular streaming shows out there. And I try to be one of them. And I am one of them. And it's because of all you. And like I always say too, especially during this pandemic, if you can't afford to do so, I totally 100% get it. You could support this show without spending a dime by subscribing to the YouTube channel at youtube.com/Matt Binder. You could also follow me on Twitter @Matt Binder. Instagram, which I'm starting to use a little bit more, @Matt Binder. Pretty much everywhere, just search Matt Binder and you will find me. DoomedPod.com for the audio version of this show. Tell your favorite YouTuber, podcaster you want to see me on their show. Tell me who your favorite YouTuber or podcaster is. And I'll get them on this show. You could drop a super chat if you want to drop a super chat in the YouTube live stream, youtube.com/Matt Binder. It's a one-off monetary donation. Renee just dropped one. Renee says, plus Trump using Twitter for provocation, taunting the uprising / revolution, i.e. Antifa Black Bloc, # Matapacos USA. Thanks, Renee. I'm going to open the phone lines for the second half. Jump on Skype and call me at Doomed Live. And I will get to your call. We'll do a shorter, not a shorter, but usually I give you guys like literally double the amount of member stuff. But try to keep the member show at the normal length today. It's already 11:30. But it's a lot going on. I'm trying to cover, keep you guys, you know, up to date in terms of my opinion on some of this stuff. At the very least. And now before I say goodbye to the first half of the show, I want to shout out each and every one of my 100 patrons. Oh, let me really quickly. Now, when I first put the goal together, I said when I hit the goal, I would start doing a members-only show. But then it took longer to hit the goal than I expected. Lap fault is at me because I'm a terrible marketer. Can't promote my own shit for the life of me. What was I saying? Right. So I started doing the patron only show way before I hit the goal. But now that I hit the goal, I'm going to use it to force myself to do those one-off YouTube clips that I said I was going to do. And I think I've done a few, one or two, but I hit the goal. So now I got to, you guys are holding me now to doing more. I'm going to try to do a few a month, maybe once a week at the very least, if I can do that many. But I'm holding myself to at least a few a month. I think that'll help grow the show, give you guys shareable content. All right. Skype. Doomed Live. Give me a call. I'll take you in the second half of the show. For you first halfers. Oh my God, what's going on, man? A lot of shit going on. I'm following these protests in real time as... Window broken at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation. Let me pull out a tiny violin. All right, folks. See you all next time. Undoomed. Oh, wait. Jumping back in here. I forgot to shout out the patrons by name. Let me do that right now. Abigail T, Adam Q, Alan B, Amanda H, Andrew C, Andrew H, Angela, Ari, Baka, Ben, Benji, Bobby M, Brian S, Brosnan, Champagne Kami, Chris F, Christine H, Cindy G, Colin R, Connor R, Cracker Barrel, CT, Cyber Snowstorm, Cynthia J, D, Dan K, Dank Uger, Dave K, David Z, Daya, Douglas V, Dragon Slayer, Eugene B, Froz K, Free Hat, FTW, Graham C, Greywind, Greg D, Greg... Oh my, there's two Greg D's. Greg D with one G, Greg D with two G's. Oh, we got a call coming in. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to take it. Hello?
Hello? Did you see the troll that we had in the chat? He thought we were all liberal.
Hold on 1 second. Let me finish reading the patrons, and then we'll jump in the second half and do this call. Hold on for 1 second.
Okay, don't forget Zoe.
I won't. Just stay on the line. I'll leave you there and just mute you. So Greg D with one G, Greg D with two Gs. Grim, Hitesh, Igor, Jack D, Jacob W, Jameson, Janelle A, Jasmine H, Jeremy M, JLS, John B, John S, Jonathan B, Joseph H, Joseph R, Joyce M, Justin S, Katie S, Kaushal, Lisa D, Mariah, Mark S, Maddie, Max W, me, Melissa M, Mitch, Michael B, Michael J, Michael M, Mr. Dinks, NS, Nicole A, Nam Danette, No Style, Odeth, Paul M, Penelope, Kuster, Rad Dad, Remy, Ryan, Scott R, Seth K, Sean H, Sheena, Silicon Baby, Stephen R, Stephen S, Steve A, TM, Tammany G, Terrence R, Hypervisor, This Is Not Pizza, Tina M, Tom M, Why That Thai Guy, Utopian, and Zoe. All right, see you all next time on Doomed.